like to share a few thoughts. We've been singing about being led on. We've had a wonderful conference. The Lord has given us good ministry. My own soul has been encouraged. And it's been well said that the time we're in danger, or the most vulnerable, is right after we've had a victory. And I would like to look at two portions in Scripture that would give us a contrast in the life of Samson and then our Lord Jesus as a contrast. So if we turn to Judges chapter 14, Judges chapter 14, verse 8. This is speaking about Samson. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them. And they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, let's go on and read in John's Gospel, and then we'll come back to this. Chapter 4, and verse 31. In the meanwhile, this is the Lord Jesus, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath anyone brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. We have here two occasions where we might say there was a victory. Samson had a victory. A lion had come at him in the way, and he had been victorious, and he had slain the lion. But afterwards, we see that he went back to check it out. And when he did that, he found something there, and he took it. It was honey. It was sweetness. And I would look at this as an example of after we've had a victory, and then we go back and contemplate it and feed on it as a source of enjoyment. Our victory. It's a dangerous thing to do that. It was unclean for him to do that. He should not have done that. In fact, if he'd have kept his Nazariteship, he would not have done that. He was separated to serve the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to enjoy the victories that the Lord has given us, but to go back and to feed on them as a source of strength or a source of sweetness is dangerous. Enjoyment with the Lord is a different matter, but to feed on something that you've had a part in, a success story or a victory that the Lord has wrought in your life, we ought to lay it at the Savior's feet and thank Him and not let it become a source of feeding and strength. The result of Samson doing this was he went down and he gradually lost his Nazariteship, his separation to Jehovah, and his strength. And his heart was enticed in other things. This was the beginning of a pathway that started out, you might say, in such a simple matter. But what a contrast we have in John's gospel with the Lord Jesus. Let's turn over it and notice it. The Lord Jesus in this chapter had just finished a conversation with the woman when he sat on the well of Samaria. A soul had been delivered and brought into relationship with himself. And that this dear woman had just gone into the city and said, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did." It was the beginning of a work. We might say it was a victory, deliverance in that city. And now it's over and the Lord Jesus is sitting alone there. His disciples come along and they have bought food. And if we might look at it like this, the disciples are saying, "It's time to celebrate." I know it doesn't say that there, but I'm reading this into it. At least they're saying it's a time to eat. And the Lord Jesus uses these, it might seem, strange words. And what does he mean by them? He says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. I believe his soul was rejoicing in that moment. But he wasn't feeding on a victory himself. His meat to eat wasn't just that a woman had been converted. I believe he's referring to his enjoyment of the joy with his father in seeing that blessing there. And that was his meat to feed on. And he would refuse the natural food. He wouldn't feed on natural sweetness. There was nothing natural sweetness for him there. He was a man of a stranger. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This world had no natural sweetness for him. He couldn't find a bride here on earth in that condition. He's going to get a bride. But the natural sweetness for him was not to be obtained at that moment. What his soul would feed on is rejoicing with his Father in doing his will. The will of the Father. His soul was completely taken up with that. This could have been a snare to many a man at this moment when a soul had just been delivered and brought into a relationship as a worshiper even, and going out and telling the men of the city. But how guarded and how holy is the Lord Jesus, how perfect he is at this moment of victory. And so he says these words with that thought. The disciples don't understand this communion and enjoyment he had with his Father at this time. And they ask about the food, and anybody brought him food. But he wasn't referring to natural food. He was referring to spiritual food. He was referring to the enjoyment he had with his Father. In seeing blessing, yes, but not that his soul would lower himself down to that act and appropriate it to himself as independent of God, the source of a dependent man in action here in service to his fellow men. And so the Lord Jesus, it is food for his soul. I suppose you could say it in a sense, it took away his appetite for natural food. I think all of us have experienced occasions like that, when we're so rejoicing with the Lord that the things of nature, they lose their attraction. Not that we can live our life without eating. We do have to eat. The Lord knows that. But we don't eat bread unless the Lord gives it to us. You know, that was one of the temptations at the very beginning of the ministry of the Lord. And the Lord answered in perfection when he was presented with the hunger and he was presented with making stones into bread by Satan. And so beautifully his soul is perfect and holy and obedient. Man shall not live by bread alone. Just because you can make stones into bread doesn't mean you should do it. Neither because you're hungry doesn't mean that you must eat right now. God will give you bread when you need bread. God will give you joy in your heart when you need joy. God will sustain you. This is perfection of obedience. And the time that we're most susceptible to it is right when we've had a reason to celebrate and a victory, and we're apt to go for it. We're apt to let down our guard. We're apt to imbibe something without saying, Lord, is it for me now? It is. And so that's the perfection of the Lord Jesus here. Well, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Every one of us has a work to do. We've as it were, had our batteries recharged here. Spiritually, we've been energized. We've been blessed. We are encouraged. And we felt the Lord's blessing upon us in many, many ways. We thank him for it. May the Lord help us now as we go on our home, on our ways, to remember this, that our delight is not in just seeing the blessing, but our delight ought to be with the blesser. The Lord Jesus, in that sense, never departed from the bosom of the Father in this gospel. He always remained there. He was always consciously aware of his Father and his relationship with him, as showing the Father what the Father was like so we would know. And so in for him to take and imbibe that victory at that moment without going back and rejoicing with the Father would have been a wrong action for him. I delight to do thy will. And to finish his work. It wasn't finished yet. It wasn't finished till he was hanging on the cross. And then he said, it's finished. It was a hard path. It wasn't an easy path. It wasn't full of always seeing victories, apparently. Souls blessed. And our life may not be that way either. We don't know what the Lord has. Things come along and test our faith. And those difficulties prove themselves to be opportunities to show these kind of things that the Lord puts in our pathway. And so I just woke up this morning thinking about this portion. Something happened here that brought it before me here at these conferences. And I enjoyed thinking about the Savior doing the will of the Father and his heart rejoicing in that. And then it goes on and it brings out one more point there. And that was this, that the Lord Jesus recognized that he wasn't the only one in participating in this ministry. And he told the disciples, I sent you, I'm skipping over verse 35, but verse 36, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. In this thought, I see that the Lord Jesus recognized, even in all his perfection, he wasn't the only one used on this day to bring fruit to God, to reap souls here for blessing. Others had labored. And what he did was a fulfillment of that and what he was sending out his disciples to do. You know, every one of us, we're just a little piece of the whole picture, a small piece. And when there is blessing, remember, there are others that have participated in it too. And so it would be wrong for us to claim all this for ourselves as our work. We've had such an important part in it. No. If the Lord gives us to see a part in it, yes, there's place to rejoice with the Father in it, but don't claim the whole thing as your own. Others have labored. John the Baptist, think of him, how he sowed and labored, and his life was taken from him. He didn't see all the fruit. The Lord Jesus and his disciples carried it on and finished the work. And so it is in our day too. Well, those two little thoughts that might carry with us.